Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in today. It's common when a pregnant woman is asked, what do you want, a girl or a boy? Many parents will say, just as I did, I just pray for a healthy baby. What if the baby is not healthy or the child is born with a disability? This is many parents' greatest fear, to have a child with a disability, but each year many babies are born with disabilities. As many of you know, my youngest son, Zion, I talk about him a lot on various shows. He's 6 now, and he was diagnosed with Down syndrome after birth. What many of you may not know is that my oldest son was born with a defect called club feet. My fear with both children wasn't the disability. It was the unknown fears of what could happen as far as their life. Was I going to be able to bring them home? That was my greatest fear, was losing them. I've been advocating positive disability awareness for a few years now. And one thing that I have noticed that a lot of parents that have kids with disabilities or parents that don't have kids with disabilities, the greatest fear, a lot of them have a hard time accepting the disability or the fact that their child could possibly have a disability. But today, joining me is Dr. Dia Rabin. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her name right. Dr. Dia Rabin Montgomery. She's a licensed clinical psychologist in Georgia and California with over 15 years of experience specializing in helping children, adolescents, adults, and families. Welcome, and thank you for joining me.
Welcome. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. Actually, it's Dia Rabin Montgomery.
Rabin.
But you're
okay,
close.
Thank you. I wanted to ask first if you could fill the listeners in on your professional background.
Oh, sure. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. And just to kind of add to that, in addition to being a clinical psychologist, I have specialty degrees and training as a child clinical psychologist and specialization with pediatric populations and child and family assessment. I have been working extensively throughout my career with children with medical complications, chronic medical illness, brain tumors, developmental and learning problems. That includes autism, Asperger's, ADHD, working with the children, working with the families. I've also worked with early intervention programs such as Babies Can't Wait, postnatal concerns, working with the families, working with the new mothers, certainly working with families when they find out or their child is first diagnosed with a chronic illness, or even some of the pre-genetic counseling when they find out that they both carry the sickle cell trait, for example. And just helping those families, how do I manage that diagnosis? How do I then manage and help my child to thrive? So in addition to working my general work that I do with families, with parent training, therapy with families, adult, adolescent, child, couples therapy, also group therapy. I have a strong focus working with health complications or children with medical risk complications.
Wow. Through your experience and working with parents that have kids with special needs, what do you say many parents struggle with the most?
You know, one of the things when we first started working with a lot of these families, we realized is that I would work with the physician, so I'd kind of pair up with them when they're giving the families the initial diagnosis or they're giving them the initial concerns. And certainly, you know, you think about the new mother, she's pregnant, she's expecting, and, you know, both mom and dad, their hopes and dreams are about what they're expecting for the child. And like you said, everyone is hoping for just a healthy child. And many times, physicians forget, or people forget when we're telling people about their diagnosis, to stop and let people take that in. And that's usually what people are struggling with. They have to take it in. Just give them a moment, because everything you've said from that point on, after you said, hey, your child might have this disability, be it that before the child is born, when they're 5, or it's discovered when they're 16, the parent is stopped with, oh, wait a minute. And that's probably what a lot of people struggle with, is giving parents that time to have that initial reaction, and helping parents understand that that initial reaction, it's okay. It's when people can't get past that initial reaction, either because they didn't allow themselves to have it, that they continue to struggle, and then they don't wrap their minds around, okay, well, I got it. This is the diagnosis for my child. Now help me understand, how do I help them grow, thrive?
Right.
How do we live with this? How do we work with this? How do I help my child feel a part of the family, feel a part of the community, interact with other children? How do I keep all that going? And so it's real important just to give them that moment, just like we would with anything else.
Why do you think, and for a lot of parents, like you mentioned earlier, once the doctor, because for me, once the doctor said Down syndrome, I saw his mouth moving, but I couldn't really hear what he was saying because I was still trying to soak in what is Down syndrome, what is it, you know. So I absolutely agree with that. And I wanted to ask, I know a lot of parents, even after receiving the information, struggle with the fact that their child has been diagnosed with a disability. Why do you think so many parents struggle with it?
You know, it's hard. Again, we're having to deal with, first of all, like you said, that initial comment or statement that there's something going on with our child. And then we have to deal with our fears about, you know, what's going to happen for our child's life. So what's this going to mean for our child down the road? And many parents, especially when there's a genetic component, or when you just had the child or you have another child with a disability, you start to think and have to deal with, well, did I do something wrong? Should I have done this? Was I not monitoring that? So there's all those fears, all those concerns that make it even more difficult to accept, to deal with, to, you know, to get past that initial comment.
Wow. Let's say a parent just received news that their unborn child has a disability. Typically, the first reaction, as we mentioned earlier, would be to think the worst, because, of course, I did think the worst as soon as it came out of their mouth, mainly because I had no idea what Down syndrome was.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to a parent that just received news?
Well, kind of like we've been saying, you know, get past that initial phase and then get on board to realize that it's not just you. Get on board and realize that there are support services out there, that there's a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, that it doesn't have to mean doom and gloom for you or your child. It doesn't have to mean that there was something you did, didn't do, could have done differently. But certainly you need to get on board with, let me find out some information. Let me get some specific comments and questions. Let me write it down. Let me make sure I let people know that I need to do this in my time frame and in my way to make sure I understand how to work best with my child. Give yourself that strength, because many people will say, oh, I left the doctor's office. I didn't ask this. I didn't ask that. I didn't ask this. It's okay to get and establish that relationship, because in most cases it's going to be a long-term relationship. Establish that relationship with your physician, whoever else is your support team, the nursing staff, where you can feel comfortable that I need to schedule a meeting where I can just ask some questions. I need to get some links to some different services. Don't be afraid to go out and say, okay, can you link me with other families who are also dealing with this same issue? Because it's much more prevalent in our country than we like to believe. And we're not just talking about a parent where they find out about a physical disability, but, you know, it's the same experience when a person finds out that their child has an emotional or a mental difficulty. They go through the same process, and certainly there's a lot of support out there. And everything is also, you know, many of us, we don't have a lot of information. You know, you think about it, when you have your baby, everything is geared towards that healthy baby. All of your training, all the prenatal information, everything's geared towards that. Every doctor's checkup, pretty much geared towards healthy baby. So we don't get a lot of preparation if we've never experienced it, never known anyone with a disability, a learning disability, a physical disability, a chronic medical illness. We don't have a lot of experience with it. All we've heard about, usually, are the worst-case scenarios.
Yeah.
And so that fear is, okay, oh, my gosh, this is all there is for my son, or all this is for my child, or all this is for my daughter. And instead, once you get past that shock, and it is, it's truly a shock. I call it the airplane theory when I talk to parents. I tell them, you know what? It's like when you're in an airplane, what do they tell you to do if the cabin loses air pressure? The first thing they tell you to do is take the airbag and place it on yourself first. In other words, for the parents, if you can take care of yourself first and your reaction, accept that it's normal, then you're ready to get out there and take care of your child and whatever needs they have and advocate for them, ask for information. Because if you've accepted whatever their diagnosis is, then you're not going to be uncomfortable. And guess what? That trickles down to how you interact with your child and how they feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Where does the shame of having a child that is imperfect come from? I know a lot of parents, they deal with the fears and stuff like that, but I've also seen a lot of parents who are ashamed and kind of, it's not as bad as it was maybe 20 years ago. Because 20 years ago, they were, you didn't see them much. Because a lot of parents, you know, they were put in institutions, and a lot of parents felt ashamed.
Right.
So where does that, even today in 2008, where does that shame come from?
A lot of it just comes from our lack of knowledge. It also, for some parents, it can come from their sense of, I might have done something wrong. But we have to realize that our society, it's still geared around, in this country, this doesn't happen. When in fact it is very prevalent in our country for kids to have learning disabilities, which I like to call learning differences. They just learn different.
Right.
You know, they have different challenges. And, you know, it's funny, some parents have a harder time saying this to their kid, but everyone has some sort of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Some are just more prominent, more visual than others. And I think what it is the parent realizing how much are they buying into what our society's norms or society's thought about a child with a disability.
Yeah.
Because if we're buying into it and we're thinking, okay, there's something wrong, my child's not enough, then certainly that's going to be how we communicate to other people, which will in turn affect how they treat our child. We set the stage. I was giving someone an example of something. Schools sometimes will ask you to give a little blurb about your child when they're considering how to place them for the next year. It's real important for parents. You set that stage. Use that opportunity to set the best light about your child. So even if your child has some differences or some challenges, you're showing them how this child is different but wonderful. So that's where I think the big change needs to be. For the parent not to take on, my child is imperfect. They're perfect and wonderful just as they are.
Yeah.
These are just the challenges or the additions that they bring to life.
One thing that I noticed too, or I've observed, and I would like your feedback on that, is a lot of parents have a hard time accepting their indifference. Even though they're not diagnosed with a disability, but because society has this this false sense of perfect, and a lot of adults struggle with it. So when they have a child with a known disability, I think that plays a part in it too.
a part in the parent thinking about their own.
Right, having the shame or thinking or having to pass on the self-confidence to their child that they're okay is hard for them. And that's just my opinion. A lot of people, it's hard for them to pass it down to their kids, whether they're disabled or not, when they have that same complex about their self.
You're right, and that is true of so many people. And, you know, it's not even just the physical disabilities where other people can see. Sometimes it's the emotional or it's the behavioral. How many times have we seen a parent in a store with a child that's having a tantrum and the parent's all upset and nervous and looking at everybody and worried about what they're thinking about them instead of focusing on the child and whatever the issue is that's going on with the child? So certainly it happens across the board. With those kind of parents, you know, again, I think a lot of it is as a parent we have to accept that sometimes our thoughts, our feelings, they're not right, they're not always accurate, they're not always correct, but we're having them. And so if parents can be a little less hard on themselves and say, you know what, I am having this, and I'm feeling so bad, and I think that's a horrible thought, but also realize there's support out there. In some cases, and that's where I say a part of my practice, I do work with those parents when they have that initial diagnosis. Be it that their child is born deaf, or their child needs a cochlear implant, or their child has autism. You know, in addition to hearing it and thinking about what it means for their child, it's okay and natural for a parent to say, you know, gosh, what does this mean, you know, for me as a parent? And then what we try to do is help those parents bring that stuff out to the forefront. And then how do we manage that? How do we deal with this? It's going to be different for every family. And I try to use the medical illnesses because sometimes that will help people understand it more clearly. So say your child has diabetes. There are several different interventions now. A lot of the intervention I might do with the family would be to assess what's going to be the intervention that works best for this family. So the best type of treatment, be it the pump or, you know, if your child needs insulin, what are the best interventions, the dieting,
right,
the nutrition, the best people for that family to work with? And each family or each parent realizing it's okay that I'm having whatever difficulty dealing with this challenge. We all bring something from our history into every challenge we deal with. So it's helping families say, you know what, instead of focusing on this is my weakness, I don't know anything about disabilities, I've always heard, you know, you don't deal with disabilities or you stay away from that. Okay, instead of just dealing with that challenge, let's find your strengths. Well, what are the strengths that you use to handle any other challenge in life? Let's apply that to this. That's one way to kind of help those families move forward. Also, getting them involved with organizations, groups, information. We're in the internet age now. Many times people just don't know enough. And so if they can log on and get some information, get some support, find a specific support group that's related to their child's diagnosis, sometimes just a general support group, and then they'll realize, hey, I'm not the only parent that had that initial reaction. Some of us can say, oh, great, you know, okay, I'm ready for this, be it our training, our personality. Other parents, it is a longer hiccup. It's a difficult adjustment. The more we can help those parents get over that adjustment, the more we help these children, the more we help them be accepted, the more we help that parent know when and where to advocate, what things are in the best interest of their child.
What tips or advice can you share with parents on parenting with or without a child with a disability?
You know, there are so many things that are out there now about parenting and magic and 1-2-3 and all these great parenting programs out there, and every parent thinks, okay, I've got to reinvent this or I've got to do this different. What did my parents do, or what do I want to learn from that, or what do I not want to learn from that? But, you know, I really try to get parents to stop and just appreciate their children and realize it is that genuine love and respect that creates that relationship with our kids that helps them to thrive, helps them to grow. That's probably the best parenting tip I would say to someone is think about giving your kids acceptance. You know, genuine acceptance for how they are, not how we want them to be, because certainly, you know, before we had them, we had all these envisions about what they were going to be, and, you know, think about the father who's like, I just know my son's going to be the next football pro and or the baseball star, and in fact, that kid's not even interested in sports.
Right.
That can cause a big rift. if the parent never accepts, that was my goal.
Right.
That not isn't necessarily my child. And just because Johnny doesn't want to play this, or just because they have this disability and now this sport would be a lot more challenging or maybe isn't the best sport for them, opening up their window and accepting their child, you know, encouraging their child's interest. Maybe this child would then be encouraged to go do swimming, which would be a lot easier if you had a physical disability. But genuine acceptance of your child for who they are. And I tell people what I try to get you to do is fall back in love with your child for who they are, not who you wanted them to be. And, you know, it's people kind of look at me when I first say that, you know, but it's falling in love with the child that they are, really genuinely accepting, loving who they are. Structure. You know, your parents, that you can't get enough structure. And a lot of parents think, oh, you know, I don't want to be too strict. Structure. Kids, they'd like to, they have friends, they want a parent. Structure, consistency. I know what to expect from you. That
right.
gives me a comfort, a resting place. So even if everyone out there doesn't accept what's going on with me, or if I have some problems at school, I know I have structure and consistency at home.
Right.
I know what to expect. Communication. It's a two-way street. And really communicating and listening to our kids, because things, you know, think about these kids with disabilities. Things we may think are a challenge for them, kids are extremely resilient. You know, it doesn't even faze them.
Right.
They would not know. I was reading an article about a little girl that had lost her finger. She was later in life. And, you know, you think about all the kids with severe disabilities, and I know some parents who have a child with a severe disability are probably thinking, what? That doesn't seem anything compared to a child that maybe has to have braces for the rest of their life or has a cognitive deficit where they'll be dependent for the rest of their life. But when the parents couldn't accept it, and didn't have clear communication with the child, what they were communicating instead was, this is something to be ashamed of. So the child handicapped themselves even further because they wouldn't use the hand where they had lost a finger, a digit.
Wow.
You know, so instead of learning how to write again, or instead of learning, you know, how to pick up things a little bit differently, even peer relationships suffered, not wanting to play with peers because I don't want anyone to see this, I don't want anyone to know. So we got to be very careful as parents. What are we communicating to our kids? And I'm not just talking about talking to them, the verbal communication. What do we communicate in the way we interact? What do we communicate in the way we behave? We say one thing, but then we do something totally different.
Right.
So those
right.
are some really, really strong things. I think if a parent can just latch onto those easy little things and be consistent with them. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be consistent. And part of being consistent and not perfect just means that this is what I'm trying to do, this is what I have in your best interest, but guess what? Mom and Dad, we make mistakes too. And I'm consistent enough to be able to say, you know what? Oops, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to be doing it this way? Okay, Mommy made a mistake. That's part of being consistent.
Yeah.
A lot of parents think, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't have to apologize to your kids. No, this is part of being consistent. This is part of being supportive. This is part of being accepting, structure, communication. Helping them and being a good role model for them. And that's what I think about with kids with disabilities. As a role model, if we're modeling acceptance of their disability and modeling for them that, hey, even with this disability, I think you can do this independent self-care thing. I think you can go off and make friends. I think you will be able to run out and play in the yard or whatever that is at the extent of their abilities, then that child's going to do the same thing. They're going to practice what you're preaching to them.
Right, and there, and I noticed too that, like my oldest son, I mentioned earlier that he has club feet, and when
mm-hmm.
he was born, he for the first year he was in and out the hospital, and
mm-hmm.
I was told that he might not be able to walk and stuff like that, and what I taught him, I never focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
I never,
good.
I never focused on. On his foot, you know, he knew, you know, I told him about it or whatever, but it was like, okay, this is what you have, this is, you know, but, oh, you'll be all right, you'll
mm-hmm.
be fine, you know, and now you wouldn't even know if I didn't tell you.
Good,
because
good.
It's not his focus. He's aware that he had surgery and stuff like that, the scars are there, but his whole personality, you wouldn't know. He don't
mm-hmm.
point it out because I didn't point it out.
Right. He doesn't even it doesn't faze him. This is something
right.
I have, and he's probably ready. If I, you know, that's a good thing too. Is that you probably have given him that armor, not defensive but protective, where if another kid happens to ask, oh, okay, well, this is what's going on with me. Okay, let's keep playing.
Yeah,
you're giving him that strength, but you're probably that great example of how you got the diagnosis, you had the shock. I'm sorry, I don't hear another word you're saying. Okay, let me wrap my mind around this. Let me get some information. Let me get out there. Okay, how can I encourage my child? And that's a great example. Unfortunately, everyone can't do that on their own, and that's why there's support groups and getting involved with organizations. This radio show of yours is so needed to help other parents do exactly what you did.
I want to, because we got like a couple of more minutes. And thank you for the comment, compliment. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
What type of services do you offer to parents? And is it just Georgia and California?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that. Those are the two states that I'm licensed in. But I'm also actually in the process of launching my parent coaching program, my parent effectiveness training. All of that will be online. I'm writing a book, actually, that will be put out for parents, Practice What You Preach, a practical guide for helping parents become their children's best role models. So certainly through that book, through the coaching program, which can be done online, doesn't matter where you live, you could certainly contact me. We could set up a coaching program to help you through certain difficult times with your children, be it relationship building, understanding your child's diagnosis. I get that many times where a child has been diagnosed maybe by another psychiatrist or someone else, and that the parent is still left with, okay, now what do I do? And that would be part of the parent coaching, is to help the parent through that. Okay, your child's been diagnosed with autism. These are the features that you need to look for. This is the developmental progression that you need to look for. These are the things that you can do to encourage your child. How do you link with services? So certainly coaching through that, doing a lot of that. In Georgia is where I primarily do my practice, where I will see people face-to-face. I do individual. I do family therapy, couples. We do a lot of groups. I do social skills training. I also have launched a program where I go out into the schools to do assessments, work with the teachers, participate in the IEPs. So I'm real committed to working with children and families.
Okay. And I know you have Dr. Shirley Boone Sanford was on the show previously, and you both have a radio show.
Yes, we do. It's called A New Village, Parenting in the New Millennium, and that is accessed at www.blogtalkradio.com/a-new-village.com. You can also access my blog at Life in Real Time at WordPress.com. So we have several different projects going on, many ways to come and help families. Please give us a call. Please contact us. The direct office number is 678-205-0877. You can also access me, at my website, which is coming up soon, drmconsultingservices.com.
It was a pleasure having you on the show. And I'm going to also post your information on the website, too.
I really appreciate that.
But I want to say thank you for what you're doing to help families. And what you're doing is very much needed. And so I just wanted to extend a thank you for what you do, and thank you for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.